sent it. And his son did get better, live. He's a grown-up man these days. And reading through, yep, if any children want to go with Pam upstairs, you're welcome to do that now. So today we're going to finish looking at chapter 2 of Philippians and see how Paul had two plans, not just one, but two plans to encourage the people at Philippi. So let's read again the remainder of chapter 2, starting at verse 19. Paul says, I hope in the Lord Jesus Christ to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who shows genuine concern for your welfare, for everyone looks out for his own interest, not to those of Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may be less anxious. So then, welcome him in the Lord, and with great joy and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. So what was Paul's plan? Paul's plan was to send Timothy. And why? So the Philippians and Paul could be cheered when Timothy and encouraged. You know, first the Philippians when Timothy gets there, and then Paul when he comes back with such a glowing good report about him. And that, of course, was in verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about it. So Paul wanted the Philippians to be cheered by news of what's happening in his life, Paul's coming release or punishment, and to be cheered and encouraged himself by the good report that Timothy would bring back about them. But why send Timothy? Well, Paul has no other people he can send. And the second, you know, Timothy genuinely is concerned for the Philippians. And we can see both of those points in verse 20. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. Also, others are self-focused, not Christ-focused, like Timothy. That'd be the third reason. And the fourth reason is Timothy has worked for Paul, kind of like an apprentice to him. He's worked closely with Paul like a son learning from his father a trade. You see that in verses 21 and 22. Everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself and become as a son with his father. He has served with me in the work of the gospel. So Paul had a pretty good list of reasons why he wanted to send Timothy to Philippi and back. I wonder how many of us would be willing to go where God says to go. God said, go to the Congo. Would we be willing? Or if he said, go across the street and talk to that funny-looking person. Or that normal-looking person. Willing to go. Are you available to God, even though others won't or can't serve him? We had annual conference this last week, and it was very different doing it online. But some things were good. Probably the business sessions were less boring because people didn't go on and on and on, you know, beating some topics into the ground. And at the same time, because there was both people speaking and people posting things in the chat line that was going by, you kind of, everybody got to put their say out there too. It was kind of fun. What I really missed was not getting to have the face-to-face, how you doing, and hugs and stuff. But at the end of annual conference comes the listing of assignments and pastors. And so I was very glad when Dallas was mentioned that's where I was assigned again. And, you know, it's kind of every year to be ordained in our system, you also have to agree to be in the itinerancy, which means they can send you wherever they want to. They work a lot more with people than they used to. You know, it used to be 3.5 years and they move you somewhere else. That was the average. And but that was a scary thought. That is a scary thought every year. My name could come up with some other place. That's a risk taken being associated with the evangelical church. And, you know, there might be a crisis of my will because, you know, we really care about you and this place and our community. And what would I say, what would I do if they asked me to go somewhere else? Genuine concern was the second point of why he wanted to send Timothy to them. Do you have the slightest concern for others to come to Christ? And if so, how much? The generation before Pam and I, we seemed to gather over time that their attitude was everybody knows about church, knows about God, knows about the need for Christ, and if they wanted to be a Christian, they'd come to church. So they really had no inkling that anybody could not have known all about Jesus and about salvation, and they really didn't care much. They figured, well, they'll come if they want to. Does your concern for others show itself in any way? Timothy had genuine concern for the Philippians, which made him a great candidate to be sent to minister to them. God focus. How many of us have too much self-focus and not enough God focus? God focus certainly will affect our choices, our thoughts, our actions, our life story. So, Father, help us to honestly answer the question right now, am I self-focused or God-focused? If God speaks to you on that, answer him in prayer or nail something on the cross, if that's a decision point. The worst thing about putting a challenge to a congregation like this, you know, do you mess up in this way, is that often the most hurting and broken people will assume that it's their problem, of course, and they'll, you know, falsely convict themselves of whatever sin is listed. But, you know, so I'll say, you can you be God-focused and yet have a hobby, a trade, a skill? That's a question I intend you to answer. Can you be God-focused and yet, you know, read a book? Well, the answer, of course, is yes. You can be God-focused and still like to read, you know, adventure novels, science fiction, or any number of other things. Or not read, but do something else. You know, and of course you can have knowledge and skills and other interests. Paul was a tent maker. And whenever he didn't have enough funding otherwise, he went back to making tents to fund his ministry. But he was always God-focused. John Wesley, as he made Methodist ministers and sent them out and stuff and went around checking on them, he stressed, you need to be people of the book. Just people of the book. And one day he was visiting some of his pastors under him, and he asked this one how his studies were going in Greek or something else. And the guy said, well, I don't study that. I am just focused on the book, meaning the Bible. And he said, no, no, no. Yeah, you need to be primarily a student of the Bible, but you really need to read these other things and have a little more broader knowledge. I think he was kind of angry with him. Wesley. And a young pastor, when he first started to take up the role as pastor, was told, you need to get a hobby. You need to get a hobby, something that you do with your hands, so that when you have those days where you did all kinds of things, but you have no idea if you accomplished anything for God, or accomplished anything, you can come home and work on your hobby a while, and there, this project went from this point to this point, so that it could have something tangible. Well, I got that done. Good apprentice. Timothy was like a son to Paul, learning how to minister to people, how to deny himself and give to others. Are we, you and I, learning better how to live the Christian life? And do we have leaders we're learning from? Are we sharing the gospel with anyone? Is anyone learning from us? So it's kind of, are we apprenticed to anyone, more or less, and is anyone benefiting from us? And then in the last few verses, Paul kind of sums up his plans. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me, and I am confident in the Lord that I myself will soon come. Paul was confident that he'd see them, the Philippians, soon, but he doesn't want Timothy to leave and visit them until his court issues are all settled. And I think we know it's hard to predict how long court is going to take to handle a case and make a decision. So Paul has come up with plan B, to send Epaphroditus to them first. Evidently, the Philippians had sent this guy, Epaphroditus, to Paul to bring him a gift to look after his needs. And in the ancient world, people thrown in prison might not get much food or much of anything unless friends or family were supporting them. So that was especially why he was sent. And I doubt that he that all he did was bring money and then sit around. I bet he did all he could to serve Paul in the time he was there. I can say, let's see. In fact, I'm sure of that because Paul said some really glowing words about Epaphroditus. But I think it is necessary to send him back to you, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. So Paul calls him brother, co-worker, fellow soldier, and messenger. That is, your angel, whom they sent to take care of Paul. Not that he's a literal angel, but you and I can be somebody's angel. Paul said those glowing words about Epaphroditus. And, you know, Father, may we too have such close bonds with our brothers and sisters in Christ as how Epaphroditus had in serving Paul's needs. Amen? Amen. There are some other reasons to hurry up and send this guy. The Philippians were worried about him. They heard that he was sick. Verse 26, for he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. I remember as a little boy growing up knowing I was adopted, and it was presented to me, your first parents really loved you, but they couldn't afford you. So they put you up for adoption, and we picked you out. You are special. You know, that felt really cool. But sometime in grade school, heard that, you know, parents that gave up a child for adoption often feel bad. And I determined in my little boy's heart, if I ever get a chance to, I'm going to tell them, it's okay. I like these people. It's all right. Epaphroditus, you know, he was healed, but he felt sick that his friends heard he wasn't well, and he longed to get back and tell them in person, I'm okay. How sick was he? 27, indeed he was ill, almost died, but God had mercy on him, not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Epaphroditus almost died. Why didn't he die? Well, for two reasons. God had mercy on Epaphroditus, and God had mercy on Paul. You know, during Pam's cancer fight, people tried to comfort me. And one thing I heard was that God wouldn't take Pam because he knew I needed her. That it would harm my ministry if I lost her. And in my mind, I thought, I'm not that special. I thought, if God heals her, it'll be because he thought it best for her. And I thought, if God takes her home, it'll be because he thought that best for her. Yet here, in Paul's claiming that part of the reason Epaphroditus was healed was due to how Paul would suffer losing this precious servant of God while he was there serving Paul. And that gives me pause to think. Could Dr. Fogg be right? In God's mercy, that God healed his son and afflicted Dr. Fogg? It certainly adds credibility to Dr. Fogg's story of mercy on his son. But back to Paul's story. Epaphroditus almost died. The Philippians heard about his illness, and it was painful news to them. Paul is acknowledging their pain hurt him also. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may be less anxious. Sending Epaphroditus back to them will be a win-win because everyone will be relieved. The Philippians will be relieved because they'll see their friend healthy and good again. Somewhere I read it speculated Epaphroditus was an older man. And consequently, since they'll be relieved, Paul will be relieved too. And Paul finishes up this chapter giving instructions of how to receive, how to honor Epaphroditus, who was, as it were, a ministering angel they sent to meet his needs. 29. So then welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor, with great joy, and honor people like him because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give. His description lays out how we should honor, sounds like people like missionaries that go and spread the gospel, go and do Christian work in places we can't go or places we won't go. So summing it up, Paul sent these two men to encourage the Philippians. Timothy is Paul's understudy, his son in the ministry, and who had love for the Philippians and wanted to go, but he also didn't want them to wait until he could send Timothy, until the court settled everything. So he also had a plan B, send the other man, who, though not the same great minister as Timothy, was dear to them and longed to see them. So Paul sent both men to them, first Epaphroditus, then Timothy, all to encourage them. And here's a convicting question. How much effort do we put into encouraging our fellow Christians? Do we ever have a plan B? If the first plan doesn't work, what about asking for God's mercy? What did we learn about God's mercy today? Apparently, one of the reasons God grants mercy, heals people, is for the sake of others, how the suffering or death will hurt others. That helps me know that if I'm giving reasons to God for healing someone, it's okay to include my feelings. You know, God, it will really hurt if I lose so-and-so. And it's okay to tell God how sad losing that other person will make us feel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for how hard Paul tried to make sure he encouraged the Philippians. Help us to have a heart that wants to encourage people, even enough to do more than one thing to encourage others. Help us to come to you for your mercy and grace. In Jesus' precious name.